following podcast is hashtag Boone approved. It's time for another edition of the Brett Boone Podcast.
Remember when me and you almost went to blows? Lou sent me down three times too, so I know what you're talking about.
With your host, MLB All-Star, Brett Boone.
Bottom line is, you will become a successful major league hitter by hitting pitchers' mistakes.
As he sits down with his sports and entertainment friends from around the world.
You are not going to be a successful major league hitter if you hit pitchers' pitches.
This isn't just any former jocks podcast.
To change the outcome, you got to change the income. You got to change what goes in. Then that changes what goes out.
Often duplicated, but never replicated. Just like his bat flip.
Okay, now the party starts. The responsibility starts now.
Now in its fourth year, this is the one and only Brett Boone Podcast.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. I am Brett Boone. I'm joined by a friend of the program today. He's been busy covering the World Series for MLB Network. Ladies and gentlemen, Robert Flores. Robert, appreciate you coming on.
You got it, man. How you doing?
Good. I want to talk about the most important thing, and that's the fans down the right field line. I'm telling you what. I've seen fans, they get into their... I don't know. They kind of lose their mind when a ball's close to them. I get it. Now, if it's me, if I'm Mookie Betts and I'm going into the crowd and they're grabbing my wrist, I'm pissed as a player.
Oh no!
But after the game, when I see the video and now I'm not hurt and everything's fine, it's kind of like an SNL skit for me. I watched that thing over and over. What was the reaction in New York?
How should I say this? It was a little bit funny, a little bit shocking, and a little bit disturbing. Thankfully, no one was hurt, specifically Mookie, because you look at that play. I mean, they're grabbing at his wrist. They're grabbing at the ball.
It's unbelievable.
And he's hanging, you know, after making the catch, and he could have gotten seriously injured. And then I think the conversation would be much different.
Right.
But that's certainly not what you want. But hopefully we do not have anything remotely resembling that for the rest of the series.
I mean, it was bizarre because I've never seen anything like it. Like I said, fans get carried away in the moment. And I don't think they went into it going, oh, I want to hurt somebody. They were just really there thinking, if I get the ball out of his glove, somehow it'll help the Yankees. Like, in their mind. And it's like, are you serious? And the more I watch I've never seen the level a fan would go to that they did. And then arguing with the umpire, like, hey, he was over the line. He was in our
that was the part for me. Look, you want enthusiasm, but that's clearly not the kind of enthusiasm that anyone wants. But the only thing comical I found out of the whole thing was the fans' reaction of what me? What did I do?
I didn't do anything wrong.
That kind of thing. But Yankee fans are enthusiastic, and they are a factor in these postseason games. And I think they're going to be a factor tonight as well.
Well, they live to play another day. When I asked you to do this show, we didn't know. We didn't know if you were going to be in studio at the network or you were going to be getting ready to potentially head back to LA. I'm happy we're getting game five for personal reasons. You know, I'm happy Absolutely. For my brother. I didn't want to see him get swept. I've been swept in a World Series and it's not fun. You've been there since game one. Opening this series, I look at these guys on paper, Dodgers, Yankees, pretty equal. I thought that the Dodgers had a little bit longer of a lineup, you know, with Kike and how he's played and Edmund, how he's played in the postseason. The firepower, the star power was kind of equal. If there was an edge I gave the Yankees, it was that starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And thus far, that has not been the case.
Yeah.
Dodgers, what they've done kind of throughout this postseason is they've been going with that bullpen game. They pitched four shutouts. Tough to argue with it. But I was listening to Smoltz before the series started, and Johnny said, you know, the thing with bullpen games is they can either go really good or really bad. Mm-hmm. And last night, obviously,
it got away from them.
It got away from them. It seemed like Roberts, too, was really kind of – he didn't want to go to his high-leverage guys because he's thinking – we've got tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We're going to have the traditional game where Flaherty and Cole are going to start, and I need my big guys. Being up 3-0, he felt a little bit comfortable. I don't know. Was that the right approach? I know you're 3-0. I know nobody's ever come back in the history of baseball from a 3-0 in the World Series. But I don't know. I'm thinking, let's just put them out of their misery now. Let's not give them a heartbeat.
Well, I understand your point, but I think when you look at what Dave Roberts' options are, I'm not sure he had any choice. You don't want to throw Jack Flaherty on short rest. You don't want to upset that apple cart. So I think he was left with no choice. If they had more options in the rotation, they could really use Tyler Glasnow right now. They could really use Clayton Kershaw. But those guys aren't available. That's why I felt going into last night where there is a path for the Yankees to get back in this series. Hey, Lauren, how you doing?
Come on in.
So even though they're down 3-1, I think there is a path for the Yankees to get back in this series to make it really interesting. You go back to Dodger Stadium and the Dodgers don't have the trophy, then there is all the pressure is squarely on them rolling into game six.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I was asked yesterday before game four, what has to happen? And I said, players, we're naive. You know, as much as analysts and fans look at it with kind of a sense of reality, when you're down 3-0 and everything on earth says there's no chance you're coming back. Believe me, those Yankee players came to the ballpark yesterday and they didn't want to hear that. They said, no, we're going to win because that's how we're wired. I remember a game four in Yankee Stadium when I was with the Braves in 1999. And we were down 3. We were facing Roger Clemens. We had beaten Clemens up pretty good that year. And we really believed we were going to come back from an 0-3 deficit and win that World Series. Well, we got swept. We lost that day. But it didn't really sink in for us, the players, until the Yankees had grabbed the lead game. It was about mid-game, and I just sensed it in that dugout. I just looked around at my teammates, and I just kind of thought, we're down again. We're down 3 games. This is a great team we're playing. And I just felt, we're done. So I thought yesterday it was imperative for the Yankees to get out to that lead. Freeman hits the home run again, and I thought, wow, they got to answer back pretty quick. They ended up getting it tied up with the Verdugo. I thought this was huge. I thought so many things went well for the Yankees yesterday. Verdugo hits 2 ground balls for RBIs. Doesn't seem like a big deal. That's a big deal. When you're 0-2, there's a runner on third, less than 2, and you hit a measly ground ball to score that run, mm-hmm. That's a huge mental thing. He did it twice. Volpe obviously has the huge night. I think little things like Wells hitting the late home run.
Yeah.
You've got no production out of that catching position. He went to bed last night being able to sleep a little bit better. And even Torres with the 3-run homer late to kind of put it away, that means Weaver didn't have to come back again. Now Weaver's available tonight. Yeah. So I think in one win, a lot of really good things happen with that Yankee ball club as far as going home last night with a completely different perspective.
Well, and also how much longer is Aaron Judge going to be held in check? I think his at-bats have gotten much better. I thought he had some really good ABs last night. I would not be surprised if he went deep tonight. So the longer this series goes, clearly there is more pressure on the Dodgers than the Yankees. Are in the Dodgers in the better position right now? Of course. But as I said, there is a path when you consider the Yankees have their best pitcher going tonight. And then you go back to Dodger Stadium. And like I said, I think all the pressure is squarely on the Dodgers.
It's interesting to me. I talked at the top about, I thought going into the series, Yankees having that starting pitching edge. Cole pitched great game one. I watched Flaherty's previous start in the postseason before game one of the World Series. And I thought, did Roberts watch the same game I watched? How are you going to put game? Why wouldn't you put Yamamoto game one with how? Well, obviously Doc is on the ground and he's seeing things I'm not seeing. I saw a completely different Flaherty. I tipped my cap to him. He pitched a hell of a game, kept him in the game, and they ended up winning that one late. The the heartbreaker for the Yankees, the way they lost game one. But I had to look at Flaherty and say what a job he did, especially coming off probably one of his worst starts ever. That's going to be the matchup again tonight. For me, I think I know Gerrit Cole. I know the Cy Young Award winner of 2023. Can Flaherty do it again? That's going to be an interesting test tonight.
Yeah, and also he is doing it on regular rest. He has thrived, as most pitchers do, with extra rest. He had, I believe he had a little bit of extra rest going into game one of this World Series. So can he do it again? Clearly, you know, Dave Roberts has bullpen weapons. He did not have to use his so-called A relievers last night when things got away. So he's got those big boys ready to deploy at a moment's notice. I'm interested to see how Flaherty handles this atmosphere, this lineup again, this Yankee crowd. He has mentioned he's been dealing with a little bit of a hamstring issue. Nothing that's going to prevent him from getting the start, but he has certainly thrived when he's at extra rest, and he's not going to have that here tonight.
You know, we talked about game four and what had to happen, and I was wrong. Freeman jumped out. You know, he hit the two-run homer, jump out to that lead. Yankees still stayed in it and won the game. For you being there, when Freeman hit the home run, I could only imagine Yankee Stadium and how it took the crowd out of it. And what's not talked about enough, we always talk about the home field crowd. You know, Philadelphia has been famous recently for that. I think in the postseason this year, Petco Field and the Padres got some love for the level of that the crowd was getting involved. Yankee Stadium, absolutely famous for it. But that's as much as the crowd can be a positive for the home team. Man, when you're an opponent and you hit a three-run shot, it's just as good to take that crowd out. It almost works in reverse. So I want – you were on the ground. I want to know the difference between the time Volpe stepped in the box before he hit the grand slam, the crowd then and the crowd after.
Yeah, I mean, look, I was impressed by two things. One, the Yankee fans, even though Freddie – hit that two-run homer to give them the early lead, they were still in it. They were still urging that team on. The other thing I was impressed with, I believe for every at-bat, they gave Aaron Judge some form of a standing ovation. So this crowd is pretty much always a factor. And I thought it played a factor last night by, one, keeping the spirits up in the ballpark. Was there a little apprehension? Sure, when Freddie Freeman hit that two-run homer. But I did not sense any wane in their enthusiasm or in their trying to urge their team on. So I thought they were a factor last night, and I have a feeling that they're going to be a factor tonight because, as we said, they know what's at stake here. Clearly, if the Yankees find a way to get a win, then things get really interesting. I mean, it was, they mentioned on the broadcast, this was the first time since 1970 that a team down 3-0 in the World Series even forced a game five. And none of them have forced a game six. So it's happened in the ALCS, obviously the Red Sox doing it to the Yankees, but a win tonight and we're in uncharted territory for sure.
Yeah, I think if anybody knows, you know, and it's so weird. Yesterday, my son, I come down. We were getting ready to watch the game an hour before. He's watching that Red Sox documentary on the 04 Red Sox. And by the way, it's top three most unbelievable sporting events I've ever seen in my life. It's like, you're down three, great. Yeah, we love it, Millar. That's great, having the positive attitude. It's never going to happen.
You were in the booth for that series, right?
No, that was 03 I was in the booth.
'04
is when Boston came back down 3-0 to an unbelievable Yankees team. And I couldn't believe it. I remember because we were at home. You know, my Mariners didn't make the postseason, so we were watching like everybody else. And that's back when that Boston-Yankee rivalry was at its peak.
Yeah.
And the fact that not only they did it, but then they went on and swept the World Series. That's one of the most, like I said, that's my top three most impressive sports feats I've ever witnessed. I've never seen anything like it. And I remember my son right now, you know, he's really rooting for his uncle. He's paying attention to everything. Yeah. So he's watching this documentary. I said, are you doing some foreshadowing here? He goes, I don't know. Maybe something will help. So last night they got the first step. Now that was the ALCS, not the World Series, but same thing. If anybody knows about it, it's Doc. It's David Roberts about coming back. Have you noticed anything in the demeanor of the two managers? Did you see Aaron after the game last night?
I did not see Aaron. I had a brief chat with him prior to game one in LA, and I was really happy for him. Look, you know better than anyone what kind of scrutiny he's under.
Sure.
And so I'm happy that that they got the win last night. I was happy for him because he's been through a lot. He's had a lot of wins, but you know the drill. He knows the drill. Sure. It comes with a lot of scrutiny. So I'm sure that he was thrilled, and I think he's driving to the yard this morning feeling excellent about tonight. I mean, how could he not? He's got his best pitcher going tonight, and there were some things that you mentioned from an offensive standpoint that he has to feel pretty good about. Austin Wells. And I'll say it again. Aaron Judge's at bats were really good last night, and I have a feeling he's going to go deep because he's too good of a hitter to be held in check for much longer. So if the Dodgers don't want to avoid the MVP going berserk, they better end this series sooner rather than later.
See, it's amazing to me because we get up the same thing every postseason. I watched the greatest hitter in my lifetime, Barry Bonds, had a real tough track record when it came to the postseason until 2002, where he went crazy against the Angels. Aaron Judge, for me, for my opinion right now in the game, and there's so many really great hitters, he's the greatest hitter on the planet right now. I think the combination of average speed or not average power, I don't think anybody can match. I don't think anybody's capable of hitting 60 home runs and hitting 320. That's what he did as a right-handed hitter. Yeah. And I, at the end, you know, there's so much focal point on the big guy in the middle of that lineup. Juan Soto, wonderful player, probably would have been the MVP if Judge wasn't in the league. But everybody's dwelling on, oh, he's choking. It's not a choking thing. No. Baseball is so hard. Hitting is so hard. When you are always the focal point, you're going to go through ups and downs and lows. You watched him in April. He had a tough time. I agree with you yesterday, and I'm sorry I didn't mention that when we talked about the Wells. The little things like the Verdugo RBIs, those are huge. The big game from Volpe from the bottom of the lineup, but I didn't, and you mentioned it for me. The simple base hit that Judge got late in the game, that can do wonders for his mentality. And you talk about, you know, how would you be? I think they went home and packed with vigor last night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If they would have won game one and then lost three in a row, you're kind of packing after the third loss going, we're probably not going to L.A. Mm-hmm. I think with all the excitement last night, they went home and said, damn it, we're going to L.A. We got our big guy on the mound tonight. We're going. So I think it's a completely, you know, it's a flip. It's a completely different mentality than it was 24 hours ago.
Yeah, I think it just shows you just how a series potentially can turn just like this, and how the mindset and the narrative of a series, especially the biggest series of them all, the World Series, can change. The bottom of the order production that the Yankees got from Volpe and Wells, those guys have been largely silent, really the entire bottom portion of the lineup. I know we talked yesterday on MLB Central about D-Row mentioned it would behoove the Yankees to, you know, obviously Judge gets all the focus and all the attention because he's the MVP, but there's been a lack of production from the bottom of the order. Well, they got production there, Volpe and Wells, and you're right. I'm sure that they went home last night feeling very, very good and going to feel very, very confident tonight going into to tonight's game five.
For the baseball fans out here watching, you've witnessed it now in short time. Explain the atmosphere differences between L.A. and New York. I've given my perspective from a player. What are you witnessing as a fan?
I think that there is something to be said about it's just a different vibe in the Northeast, in New York, whether it be the Bronx or Queens or Boston or Philly. There's just they just don't stop. And you know, for those that root against those teams, I'm sure that's why, you know, that's one of the reasons why they get rooted against so passionately. Because, look, I say this as a compliment. They are obnoxious. I mean that as a compliment.
Absolutely.
You know, because they don't stop. There's a constant kind of buzz in the stadium. They don't necessarily wait for things to cheer about or to voice their opinion about. They are, I'll say this, they're proactive. And that's why crowds like the ones we see in New York, in Boston, in Philly, that's why they potentially can have a factor and be a factor in a postseason game.
I've always, and I've got to have several postseason series in New York. By the way, love it. All the things you mentioned, they don't stop. They're crazy. They're obnoxious. But that's the reason I love going to those atmospheres, just as just about to explode as much as you can. That's as much excitement you can, I think you can experience as an athlete. And I used to love going to the Bronx. Although when I explain the atmosphere, I think LA, the birds are chirping. I got short sleeves on. D-roll, cut it out, son, making a cameo. That's what I'm talking about.
He's about to get made up.
Yeah, he's gonna look pretty
beautiful, bro.
Yeah, he's gonna get beautiful.
The way I explained the atmosphere as a player was, L.A. was kind of the birds are chirping. I got short sleeve shirts on. You know, crowd will show up. Sun, it's kind of bright. Almost like a spring training game, a casual walk in the park.
Yeah.
I go to New York in October. It's cold. I might have a neck, you know, warmer on. Neck,
yeah.
Oh man, it seems like that sky's just darker in New York. Almost scary as a player. And it's like, let me get this first at bat out of the way so I can kind of settle down. That was the difference for me. And I think for a lot of players that witnessed being on the opposing team going into the Bronx, but it's going to be interesting to see. All right, I'm going to let you go here shortly, but wanted to touch on the Volpe story. I got to see him after the game.
Yeah.
He sat down with his hero Jeter. You know, you're seeing all the picture. Cool. You're seeing all the pictures. The hometown hero. You grew up, born and raised. Wanted to, you know, love the Yankees. Played shortstop. All of a sudden, he's living his dream. I'm sure his family's going crazy. How cool is it for a Volpe and that type of story actually being the shortstop for the Yankees at such a young age in a World Series?
Yeah, I mean, he is living out just about every boyhood dream, every kid's dream who, you know, lives in the tri-state area, if not nationwide. So he's from the area. He was a diehard Yankee fan. I think there was a shot of him I saw somewhere on social media, him at the 2009 World Series parade. Of course, the last time the Yankees won the World Series. So playing shortstop for the New York Yankees is like playing center field for the New York Yankees. It is a premium position, and it is one that comes with a very high level of scrutiny. This is a very demanding town. It's a very demanding organization. But I think that he has acquitted himself very well. He is a hardworking kid, and I don't think we've seen the best of Anthony Volpe. Is he going to have a night like he did last night? I don't know, but it certainly does him wonders. And for someone that grew up with Yankee fans, I can't imagine how thrilled he must be.
Yeah, a lot on your shoulders, and people forget he's only 23 years old, and being in the Bronx, there's different to being that Yankee shortstop in the postseason, especially in the World Series. So I give him a lot of grace. Like, this kid's 23. He's got a lot of road ahead of him. All right. I came up with a new word today, and I'm proud of myself, the word vigor. I don't know if it fits or it doesn't, but I said the Yankees are going home last night, and they were going to pack with vigor.
Yeah.
Okay. Robert Flores, if it goes to a game six, you will be going back to L.A.
That's correct.
Were you packing with vigor before you came into the park today?
I don't know if I was packing with vigor. I think whatever the opposite of that was, right, or word is, There was a decided lack of vigor. It has been a, you know, we've got a ton of talented men and women that are responsible for putting our little traveling circus on the air. And it is a lot of work. They work much harder than me. But, you know, traveling and packing and unpacking and being at the park early, it can be a little bit demanding. But look, I always say we work at the toy store, right? So we're not, it's just TV. We're not working that hard. So but it's a lot of fun.
Well, Robert, I appreciate it, man. Have fun tonight.
You got it.
You know, once again, for selfish reasons, I hope there's a game six. We'll see.
Sure.
All starts tonight in the Bronx. Appreciate you coming on.
You got it.
And for those of you watching the Brett Boone Podcast now, we've got our own YouTube channel. Check it out. For those of you listening on the Odyssey app, wherever you download your podcast. Until next time, keep it here. Thanks, Robert.
Thanks, Brett. Appreciate it, man.